Chapter 6. "Well, was it a good day?" Aunt Charlotte asked as they made their way back to her car. "It was," Darcy admitted as she crossed the Trinity College parking lot. "I wasn't sure at first. I mean, it's really different. But meeting the Deuces was helpful."
"The Deuces?"
"Oh, that's what we called ourselves. Group 2," Darcy explained. The day had exceeded her expectations. She couldn't wait to tell Hakeem what she had learned about the challenges of college and the opportunities. She even discovered Trinity offered courses in music. She wondered if Hakeem could study there too, even though he wasn't a Deuce.
"Your group needs a better name," Aunt Charlotte said as they reached her car.
"We do," Darcy agreed with a smile. She glanced at the 6 new contacts on her phone. But they were all really nice. Darcy told Aunt Charlotte their names and where they were from.
"I met some of their parents," Aunt Charlotte said. "We had a good discussion about everything you're all likely to experience your first year of college. I think it'll be helpful for your parents to know, too. I'll have a talk with them. I even took notes. Honestly, it was so good, I didn't even notice that they'd run late. I can't believe it's almost 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock? Darcy stared at the time on Aunt Charlotte's dashboard and then on her phone. It was 2:37 p.m.
"Oh, no," Darcy cried. "I'm supposed to meet Tara at 3.
Aunt Charlotte frowned, her lips tightening into a look of distaste that Darcy had seen many times before.
"I'm sure she can wait a few extra minutes. You don't understand. Tara's throwing a huge surprise party tonight, and I'm supposed to help set up."
"Tara?" Aunt Charlotte repeated, her face twisting as if she recalled something unpleasant.
"Isn't she the loud one with the long nails? You're still hanging around with that girl?"
"Yes, she's one of my best friends," Darcy said defensively. "Okay, but what's she doing with her future? Where's she gonna be in 5 years?
Aunt Charlotte threw questions like punches. "Is she even going to college?"
"I mean, I guess. We haven't really talked about it," Darcy lied.
"We're still juniors. Why does everyone expect us to have it all figured out? There's still time.
Trust me, that time goes quick," Aunt Charlotte snapped. "The people you surround yourself with are very important. They influence your behavior and your expectations for the future."
Darcy rolled her eyes and stared out the window. She wished her aunt would stop talking and drive faster, but they were caught in traffic. There was nothing Darcy could do to speed the ride home and no way for her to avoid Aunt Charlotte's words.
"Jamie's a perfect example," Aunt Charlotte continued.
"My aunt is making me crazy, and I'm going to be late for Tara."
Darcy texted Hakeem, even though she knew he was at work and wouldn't see the message.
"Remember all the problems she had? Shoplifting and running away and God knows what else," Aunt Charlotte lectured.
"That's because she was hanging with the wrong people. Honestly, your mother wasn't much better.
Does she approve of your friendship with Tara?"
Darcy gripped the armrest in the car and glared at the crawling traffic.
"Do I look like I'm in third grade? Mom doesn't decide who my friends are," she wanted to yell.
Aunt Charlotte knew nothing of the many times Tara helped her. Tara had even been there the day Jamie had run away. She had helped look for Jamie, something Aunt Charlotte never did.
"Mom knows Tara is good people," Darcy said simply.
"I don't have to ask her permission about who my friends are."
"Maybe you should, so you don't end up making the same mistakes," Aunt Charlotte huffed.
"Seriously, Aunt Charlotte, I don't think..."
"Forget it. I can see this talk isn't going anywhere."
"Fine," Darcy mumbled as Aunt Charlotte slowly merged onto the highway. It was already past 3 o'clock when Darcy reluctantly decided to reach out to Tara.
"Running late. Traffic. Be there soon," Darcy texted.
"Hurry. Really need you," came Tara's response seconds later. Darcy could almost feel Tara's anxiety through her phone. She pictured her rushing around, sweat beating on her forehead as she made final preparations. She hoped Dez was there or that Tara called Royland and some of the guys from the football team to help. Still, as the minutes on Aunt Charlotte's dashboard clock kept changing, Darcy felt a pang of guilt.
"I'm not gonna lie, I need you, girl."
Tara's almost desperate words came back to her. "I want this done right. You're the only one I trust for that."
"I'll be there. I promise," Darcy had said.
She still didn't understand why Tara was so obsessed with the party, but it didn't matter. The traffic delay was forcing her to break her promise at the worst possible time.
She wished she had brought party clothes so she wouldn't have to go home to get changed. She imagined Tara's reaction if she walked in wearing the dress pants and top. "What are you wearing, girl? This is a party, not church," Tara would say. Darcy wondered how Tara would respond if she told her about Trinity College. Part of her was certain Tara would not care about any of it. The thought stung her more than she wanted to admit. She sighed at the crawling traffic. There were so many things she needed to talk with Tara about, so much they needed to hash out. After the party, Darcy decided when Tara wasn't so distracted, they would sit down. Tara could finally tell Darcy what was on her mind, and Darcy would do the same. "We'll work it out," Darcy told herself. "We have to." "Oh my," Aunt Charlotte interrupted her thoughts. "There's the problem. What is it? An accident, I think." In the distance, Darcy spotted the flashing blue and red lights of a police car and a tow truck. Cars continued to inch along. Barely. Darcy's phone said it was 3:33. Darcy could feel Tara stressing. "Is there another way?" she asked, turning anxious eyes toward her aunt. "Can't you try the GPS? This highway is our best option. We'll have to wait it out." "Traffic. Coming, I swear," Darcy texted at 3:35. Tara didn't answer. She pictured her rushing around, too busy to look at her phone. But as the minutes passed and Tara didn't respond, Darcy began to have her doubts. At 4:06, traffic finally started to move. Darcy still hadn't heard from Tara, even though she had texted her two more times. "Is Tara okay?" Darcy wondered. "Or is she angry?" "Can you drop me off at Tara's?" she asked her aunt as they neared home. "I promised I'd be there almost an hour ago." Just then, Darcy's phone buzzed with a text. Relieved, Darcy looked at it, expecting it to be Tara, but instead it was Jamie. "Where are you? Need you here now." "Going to Tara's." Darcy's thumbs worked quickly to send the reply. "No, come home now. Important." "What is it?" "Just come home." It was just past 4:30 p.m. when they finally arrived. Aunt Charlotte had barely stopped when Darcy bolted from the car and rushed inside. Mom was curled on the sofa, her face blotchy, her eyes red and swollen. Crumpled tissues were strewn around her on the floor. Dad sat next to her, hunched forward, elbows on his knees, arms crossed as if he had just been punched in the stomach. Jamie hunkered nearby on Grandma's old chair, still wearing her cheerleading uniform from the afternoon's basketball game. Her eyes were glassy, and she was biting her bottom lip as if she was trying not to cry. "What's wrong?" Darcy asked. The room was somber and quiet, except for Mom's sniffles. It reminded her of the day Grandma died. "What happened?" Aunt Charlotte spoke up from behind Darcy. She eyed the room carefully. "Did he hurt you?" Dad glared at her, a flash of anger in his eyes. Darcy's mother shook her head. "No," she said, her voice heavy with emotion. "It's the baby." Darcy felt her stomach drop. In all the excitement of Trinity College and the worries about Tara's party, she had forgotten Mom's doctor appointment. "What is it?" Darcy blurted out, unable to stop herself. "Tell us." Mom took a deep breath as if she needed to steel herself for what she was about to say. It's a little boy, Darcy," she began, her voice quivering. "He's a boy." "A brother," Darcy thought. "I'm gonna have a little brother." But the tests," Mom continued. "They show he has a problem." "What do you mean? What kind of problem?" Mom clutched a tissue to her face and looked over to Darcy's father as if she didn't want to say the words. "He's got Down syndrome," Dad answered. Aunt Charlotte winced. Down syndrome. Darcy had heard the term in biology class last year. It was a problem with an extra gene or something.
"You keep saying that, but what does it really mean?" Jamie asked, getting up from Grandma's chair and sitting on the end of the couch.
"It's a birth defect," Aunt Charlotte chimed. It means he won't be a normal child," Dad said, his voice heavy and broken. "His brain won't grow like yours did. He won't be able to learn or understand things like we do. And there might be serious physical problems with his heart and muscles."
"But Is there medicine? Can they fix it? Jamie asked.
Her eyes met Darcy's as if she was looking for support, a sign of hope.
No, Dad continued, sighing sadly. It's not like that, Jamie. This isn't a disease he can outgrow or recover from. It's a permanent condition. The doctor said specialists can help, but only so much. At best, he might be able to read a little and maybe get a simple job as an adult. But at worst, he might not be able to walk or talk or hear or see. It means he's going to need a lifetime of care.
Darcy crossed the room to be next to her mother. She rested her hand on Mom's back as tears silently gathered in her eyes. The room seemed to have darkened since they had arrived, as if someone had turned off the lights and dimmed the sun too. Aunt Charlotte cleared her throat.
Is there another option? She asked.
Darcy's mother nodded sadly as her father raised his swollen, bloodshot eyes.
Yes, he said. The doctors said we might want to think about not having him.
Not having him? Darcy repeated, her head beginning to spin. It was all too much. A baby brother, a birth defect, and now this.
You mean?
They mean ending the pregnancy. An abortion, Aunt Charlotte said somberly. She stood like a marble statue in the center of the living room, watching Darcy's mother.
Charlotte, I can't talk about this right now, Mom said, almost begging.
I understand, Aunt Charlotte said, nodding. We won't do this now, but we need to do it soon. I'm here when you're ready, and for what it's worth, I think that's what you should do.
Charlotte, please, Mom pleaded.
You need to think about your girls. Think what this could mean for them. They've already had too much to deal with, and now this.
Her mother closed her eyes.
She says she doesn't want to talk right now, Jamie snapped, moving protectively between Aunt Charlotte and her mother.
Jamie, Dad protested, but it had no effect.
Jamie glared at her aunt as if she wanted to shove her out the front door.
Go home, she shouted. This is none of your business.
Jamie, Dad warned, his voice growing louder and more direct.
She has no right. No one asked her. Jamie, shut your mouth and sit down.
Dad roared this time, his voice booming through the small house. Jamie flinched at the sound and scowled at Aunt Charlotte as she sat down.
No, she's right, Carl.
Aunt Charlotte nodded and dropped the Trinity College paperwork on the coffee table. No one asked me, and now's not the time. I was just reminded today of the promise of your girls, she said, sounding more sincere than Darcy had ever heard her. I want to make sure they get their chance to succeed. Both of them, even if Jamie doesn't want me to, she added.
Dad glanced down at the college paperwork, and his own eyes widened.
Mom looked too, and then took a deep breath.
Oh, baby, Mom said, picking up the packet and looking at Darcy. I'm so sorry, I didn't even ask. How was your college visit today?
Darcy shrugged. It felt as though days had passed since she had visited Trinity. Somehow it didn't seem important anymore.
It was fine, she said.
It was more than fine, Aunt Charlotte chimed in. Darcy got to see what's out there. She met some new friends and she fit right in. She'll tell you about it when she's ready.
Jamie rolled her eyes until Mom flashed her a look.
Thanks for taking her, Charlotte. You really helped us out today, Mom said, sounding a bit more like her normal self.
Dad nodded and the three of them chatted briefly about the orientation while Darcy's mind churned over everything she had just learned.
Abortion. Termination. The words possessed a grim gravity. They pulled to her mind snippets of church sermons, talk shows, articles about protests, and rumors about girls at school who'd gone to the women's clinic to end an unwanted pregnancy. It all swirled in Darcy's mind as Aunt Charlotte gave her and her mother a hug and said that she would call tomorrow. Then she left, and Darcy sat in the quiet living room with her parents and sister, her mind still churning.
What's gonna happen? Jamie asked, turning to Darcy and then their parents.
I don't know, baby. Your father and I have to think, Mom said. The doctors say he might suffer, Jamie, that he might not have a happy or healthy life. He might always be in pain or in and out of the hospital, Dad explained.
But not necessarily, Mom replied. We see plenty of happy people with Down syndrome at the hospital. They're all different.
But they all have special needs, Maddie, Dad said.
I don't want to bring a child to suffer or be unable to care for himself. What kind of life is that?
Mom nodded and gently leaned into him. And what about bills? Or when we get old and can't care for him, what then?
Darcy heard the sad notes in his voice and realized what her father was saying, what his choice might be. But Mom was silent. She sat with him, but was somehow alone too, as if part of her was removed, weighing the decision quietly in ways only she understood.
It's not fair, Darcy thought to herself. Not to Mom or Dad, not to the baby.
She remembered how often Grandma used to go to church, how she used to pray and insist everything happened for a reason. But Darcy never found a reason for why Grandma had her stroke and became a shadow of herself. And Darcy could see no reason for an unborn baby to be sick. No reason her parents should have to face such a sad and lonely choice. No reason for any of it.